I think it's turned on now. Does that work? All right. Hey, everybody. Yay. Good morning. Okay. Well, my name's Doug. And before I do anything, could I just stop and we all just take a moment and pray again? Like, I'm a big fan of it. And that would be the best place for me to start. Father, we thank you for how good you are to us. And Father, thank you for your unfailing love that never shifts or changes. There's no things in this world. We think of a hurricane coming through, Lord, and even that can't stop your love. None of that can get in the way, Lord. Father, if we needed an example, you gave us the highest and the greatest one in your Son Jesus, and that you would take pleasure in crushing your Son to see us as your children. God, I thank you that you don't hinge anything on us, but you gave your Son to give us life so that we could have life. And life as a children that aren't orphans, but we're your children. So Jesus, we thank you for coming down to this earth, Lord, that you didn't hesitate, but you came down at the right time, that when the time was perfect, you would lay your life down so that the Father could pour all his wrath out on you. And as we spoke this morning of verses that speak of judgment and how terrifying it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. And for us who are yours, that's not as terrifying anymore because of Jesus. Not because of us, but because of your Son. So God, we praise you in this place, Lord. As your children, as your family getting together on a Sunday morning with the freedoms you have still allowed us to have here, that Lord, you're worthy of it. You're worthy of our time and our attention. You're worthy of us to not just accept who you are, but also you're worthy of us to accept what you paid for us to be. And that's your children. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here. There's not one that's righteous. There's not one that's good. There's not one that seeks after God. Not one gets to come to you, Dad, unless your Spirit draws us. And so we acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that you are present in us, or we could never focus on you or know any of these things. The words couldn't be on our lips and in our tongues, that it couldn't even come out of our mouth had it not been for you. So Holy Spirit, thank you for making Jesus beautiful. The price that he paid. The love of our Father. So God, help us have a reunion right here. That above everything, every word, everything spoken, all of our thoughts and our heart's attention, in the midst of it, could we just get a glimpse of how amazing you are? And the stuff that you want to do, how far your lengths are that you'll go to set up places where your children that don't know you, that are orphans, could be drawn to you. And so, in that, Lord, stir us up. God, if you would address some angels here too to stir us up, whatever it takes, Lord, to minister to our hearts this morning, we ask you, we invite you, we give you the freedom to stir us up to love and good works so the world will see your children and come to you. Amen. And, what's up, guys? Little front row crew right there. What's up? Yeah. So I'm 36, even though at times you'll see me as a 12-year-old, I'm sure. Marcia, she's the one that you guys know for the most part or have known. And so even when I came in, I was speaking with Clive and Kathy. Yay, got it right. Okay, so I was speaking with them this morning, and they were like, so how'd you and Marcia meet? And so I figured if we're going to talk about what God's doing, that would be a good story to start off with as we move in. But how many of y'all are young enough or old enough, whichever one it is now, to remember MySpace? So that's where me and Marcia met. Yay, social media did something amazing. You know, instead of just a bunch of bad stuff, my wife found me on MySpace, and then after stalking me for a long time, I finally get it. No, I'm just kidding. She's turning red. I love it. Okay. So, in all sincerity though, yeah, that's where we met, and she saw my profile and wanted me to, let her know, like, what fellowship I was in and, like, what young people's group I was involved in. And so she was trying to find a fellowship to get involved in that was active. And my profile was all about what God's doing and, just I tried to make it a ministry. And so anyway, with that, then we started hanging out as friends, became best spiritual friends, and then we were meeting at a little Mexican restaurant in Jacksonville, Florida, and this was all taking place when she was in Florida with Audrey, her sister. But yeah, I remember her standing, and she was like about where that pylon is from me. And I was walking out from my car, and I was walking up to her, and I remember there was like an overcast day, but she was standing there all cute on the curb, like waiting to meet me for lunch. And as she was smiling, I remember there's like this glow, and it sounds weird, but there's literally like a glow about her. And it was like right there. And I remember stopping going, like, Lord, the sun's not even out right now. What is this? And as I kept walking closer, like I got closer to her, and it was as if, I always call it a fry pan moment, when God hits you with something so fast, and it's like you're in the dark, sneaking into the kitchen, and all of a sudden the light comes on real fast, you know, and you're like, oh, Mom, what? I didn't mean to get out of it, you know? It was like, I was walking up, and it was one of those moments where I felt like God just smacked me, and He said, stop trying to give her away. She's for you. And behind that was of our good friendship and her being my best spiritual friend, I was trying to pawn her off on all my spiritual buddies. And I was like, oh, dude, like Brad, you've got to meet her. She's amazing. And all this stuff, like, she's incredible. You know, like, you got to meet her. And we'd get off, like, from whatever event it was, and she'd hit me up and be like, oh, yeah, why were you trying to get me to talk to that guy? Like, I wouldn't talk to him. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then she was trying to pawn me off on her friends and, like, introduce me to, like, oh, surely I'm supposed to, like, introduce him to a good friend. And then it's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to talk to that person again, you know? And like, we just kept going back and forth that way until that moment where God said, stop trying to give her away. She's for you. And so that was 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago. And so that's how me and this beautiful woman came together. And so now we have two little kids, the little blonde-haired kid that is running around and was in the middle of talking the whole time. His name's Dunedin. He's 4. And then we have a daughter, his big sister, who's 5. And so her name's Madison. So anyway, that's kind of like the short version of how we met. So girls, I don't encourage, if any of y'all are single, since it seems to be most of y'all over here, it's like, don't go on social media. Don't try to duplicate it. God always does original new things. So don't go that same route. But to let everybody know, I guess where we have just come from, was going all the way back to earlier last year, 2015. It was February 28th, and I was sitting inside of a church, and there was a pastor that was up in a pulpit, and he was preaching, and he was in John 6. And as I'm listening to him to go through this chapter of John 6, and you don't have to necessarily turn there, but as he was going through it, I was listening to his message. And if you've ever been in one of those moments where you're hearing God using somebody to speak something, and then God takes you on a tangent of your own, you know, and it's like that's what was going on with me, where I just stopped, and literally this whole, it was a different Bible, but here's John 6, and he was going through these things, and like, it's where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And as he goes through this whole little section, this whole page just got really hazy, and I'm looking at it, and it was like, and I could see everything go out of focus except for John 6:27. And so in this verse, I ended up highlighting it in this Bible. But as I'm sitting there, I don't even remember what he talked about that day. I just remember whatever it took to get me to this verse is what God used. And then from that verse on, everything started to change. And so the verse says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And then the finishing statement is, for on Him God the Father has set His seal. But I remember when I was reading it, it was in a different translation than this one, but the words were, do not no longer labor for food that perishes, but labor for that which leads to eternal life. And I remember reading that verse going, oh Lord, hey, I need to start the timer thing. Good call. Thank you, God. Okay, so all right, so as I'm reading this verse, it's like, no longer labor for food that perishes, but labor for that which leads to eternal life. And I remember reading that verse going, okay, Lord, I see why it's highlighted, but what do you want to say to me through this? Because for you young people, I'll tend to like veer off to the young people every once in a while. It's like if you sit in here and you hear them proclaiming the truth out of this book, but you don't ever get in here for yourself, you're going to miss a life that God intended for you. Because this isn't a history lesson. There's history in it. But what you're doing with this, anytime that you'll stop and read here, you're seeing who God was and who He's always going to be and how He interacted with His people so that you can see what He'll do in your life here and now. It's not that we read this to go, oh, let me get the Romans Road figured out so I can go cram it in somebody's throat real fast. It's like, no, what you want to do is get who God's always been so grafted into your framework that when you renew your mind and hold every thought captive to the mindset of Christ, what you're doing is then you're giving God the opportunity to show up today and to be the one that He is. Because it's not just who He was, but if you'll go with Him, He'll show you who He is still. And it doesn't change. He won't change. And so even what you experience and you read in here, it's like, okay, Lord, so what do you try to say to me with do not labor for the food that perishes, but labor for that which leads to eternal life? And I'm sitting here just like paused, and I couldn't hear anybody or anything, and I'm just like focused and going, come on, Lord, just tell me what do you mean? And all I could hear was make ministry our business. That was all that was in my thoughts, all that was in my head. And I'll get into hearing the voice of God in just a minute, because that's a good story of our daughter. But all I heard in my thoughts, I couldn't get this thought out, is make ministry our business. And up to date, I'd been on church staff as a youth pastor, college pastor, singles minister for about 7 years. I've been an intern at a church. I've been a janitor at a church years ago. It's like I've been a local missionary where we live. I've gone on mission trips, 2 to 3 of them a year for the last decade. And it's like, I mean, and here he is saying, make ministry our business. And the thing that I knew he meant above all things was when he said our, it was no longer mine and his business, but it's mine, him, and her business. That woman that was standing on the curb 10 years ago. You know, it's like, now we're supposed to all be. And so I remember looking over going, Lord, she was 27. Like, I've heard stories this morning already where they're like, I remember when she was born. You know, and it's like y'all knew Marcia back when she was a baby growing up. And I met her when she was a 27-year-old woman. And so it's kind of amazing. And for those of you that have been married, you know, it's like celebrating 47 years last week. Is amazing. You know, it's like you learn a lot more as you walk with them. But for me and Marcia, it's like she was really homed in on career and what God was doing with her at her position where she worked. And so I knew He had to do something in her. And so I just started praying right then and there. I go, okay, Lord, then you got to start working on her. And so we had this thing in our house, like our secret places, where, like, I have a place that I go hide every day where I just like, oh, just, Lord, I wake up. And there's times where Marcia, not to be weary, but Marcia will catch me waking up and I'm just standing there going like, come on, Lord, I love you. And I just want to tell you this morning, I'm thankful to be here with you. And there's a wall right here in front of me. And she'll look at me and I'm still in like whatever I slept in. And I'm standing here and she's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, shh, be quiet. This is good. I just want to tell you good morning and I love you, you know? And like, you know, I'll go to bed and I'll stand there next to the wall and I'm sitting there again because our bed was like right there. And it sounds weird and cheesy, I get it. But at the same time, it's like, man, He's all I got. And if you knew where I came from, then you'd know like why. It's like, oh, I'm just so thankful that I'm here. And I'm so thankful for what He's done. And so I'm standing there and Marcia, like, she'd have her secret place, which was her balled up in her closet underneath the clothes hanging down. If that makes sense. And so I even have a picture of it, but I didn't want to do it. She's there like, no, shh, be quiet, move on. So we'll stay right here for a minute. No, but yeah, so she would hide in her closet and she would take God's word in there and she'd take a little iPod and her headphones and she would go hide in there every morning. And she started getting up at like 5:45 or 6 o'clock and she'd go hide in there before I ever even saw her, before we ever talked. And so like February 28th, flash forward to May 6th, was when she called me that morning and she said, she was like whimpering in her voice and I could hear like tears and she goes, babe, I gotta tell you, we gotta do this. I'm like, do what? I just got done dropping some high schoolers off at school because we just had a Bible study that morning. I'm like, do what, babe? What are you saying? And she goes, we've got to reach the unreached. Like, we have to reach the unreached to make ministry our business. We've got to do this. And I remember like if you ever get to know me better, it's like I'm on the other side of the phone going like, oh yes, like, well, we're about to go do this, Lord, we're about to change the world, you know. And she's like immediately, because she knows me, and she's like, she goes, I just, like, we've got to do it, babe. But don't ask me what that looks like, and I don't know what we're doing next. I just got to say that so I'm accountable to it, you know. And I remember going like, okay, Lord, we'll wait, you know, figure out what that looks like. And so that was the moment, May 6th, 2015, when Marcia called and finally said, yeah, Lord, like, whatever you want to do, I'll go do. Wherever you want to go, I'll go. And we're going to make other people that don't know you, that food that perishes, we're going to go labor for that. And so I share that because you guys have invested into her so many years. The amazing woman that I get to be with, I just want to honor y'all that have been a part of her growing into that and just say thank you from a husband that adores his wife, and the daughter of the king that she has become. It's there's a lot of you in here that have invested along. And I don't know what she was like as a little kid. I could just imagine. So, like, you went through a lot to get her where she's at. And so, in all sincerity, though, I do want to say thank you for that, because that's now my wife. And we get to go seek to glorify Him and honor Him and change the world together. So, in that, thank you. Back in the story, so May 6th was when she said, let's do this. Like, we've got to reach the unreached. And she said she could just see these pictures of faces in her head that, like, of people that just don't know Jesus. And she was driving downtown through our area, and she's like, I just see, like, all these people, and I don't know whether they know Jesus or not. And we've got to go after them. I'm like, okay, like, we'll wait and see what that looks like. And then so as we continue to pray and fast and, like, look into these things, and if you don't fast, I just encourage you, if you got decisions, like, why not make a transaction with heaven and say, I'm not going to take this stuff today that'll feed my flesh in order to put this stuff down so that I can ask you for some wisdom, some understanding, some direction. You know, like all through the Old Testament, there's like times where somebody needed an interpretation for a dream, or somebody was like really wanted to see a move of God, and they would go, okay, we need to pray and fast. I mean, back then they put on sackcloth and ashes, you know, and like we haven't gone that route yet, but we do like pray and fast. So if you hear me say that, it's not to go like, oh, we fast. It's more of just like, it's a good example in Scripture. And so, like, God really, He'll answer us. Like, He really wants to. He gave Jesus up so we could hear His voice. And so, how much are we willing to lay down so that we can get the distractions out of the way to really pursue after Him? And so, through praying and fasting, God ended up saying, don't go off and do anything on your own yet. Like, come and be a part of this organization, YWAM, and see what they're doing. And so YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. It's the world's largest sending organization of missionaries. They've got over 20,000 full-time missionaries in the field right now. They've got over 2,000 locations. They've got bases in all around the world. And a lot of their focus is what's called the 1040 window. And so in the missions movement, that's longitude and latitude, but it's basically in your mind, if you could picture a big map, and you have North Africa, and then that whole slither of like Asia and China, and like, so does that make sense? Where it's like Northern Africa and all the way across, and that's where less than 1% have ever even heard the name Jesus. And so like less than 1% of the population within the 1040 window have ever even heard the name of Jesus, let alone like had a church or a fellowship somewhere. And so as we were looking into it, that organization, God really made it clear to us that that's where we're supposed to go and be a part of. And so January 2nd was Marcia's last day at work. And like, if y'all know her, she's really driven. And so, and she's really administrative, and she has drive. And so, like, meaning we're packing up the house and we're like renting out our house to these people. And I can get into the story of that another time, maybe, but maybe not. Anyway, the point was like, so for us to leave everything and go up to Colorado Springs to do this training school, like we got rid of a car because there's no point in dragging a car around for a year. We rented out our house, and the two people back to back that were supposed to rent it out failed, like all the way up until 5 days before we were supposed to leave to Colorado Springs. And so we had this house back home, and it's like, and here you are like a week from leaving, and it's like, okay, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And I remember the morning I found out about that, I laid in my bed for 30 minutes, and I didn't get out and do my wall posturing, but I laid in my bed that morning, and I was like, okay, Lord, I know you got a plan. I know you saw this. You set this up. What do you want to do? And just the only thought I had was, call Matt. I'm like, okay, I'll call Matt. I call Matt up. I'm like, hey, Matt. Him and his wife, Terry, they just had a young baby or a young daughter. She's less than a year old. I'm like, hey, dude, any chance do you want to rent out a house? You know? And he's like, what? I'm like, just stay praying about it. Like, people are supposed to rent our house out, just canceled and all this stuff. They're not moving down from Michigan yet. So, do you want to rent a house out? And he's like, can I come look at it? I'm like, yeah, man, you can come look at it. Within 2 hours, he's come over to our house, looked at our house, set up a time for him to go grab his wife, brings his wife back over. Within 3 hours, they've already called back and go, hey, yeah, we want to be, like, thank you so much for the honor to rent out your house. Like, you don't understand, like, we've been looking for 6 months to try to find a place, and we're in this place that we got to move out of, and if we weren't out by the next week, if we didn't tell them what we were going to do, we had to pay an extra $1,000 just to stay there, and all that, you know, and all these things. I'm like, oh, Lord, that's good. You know, like, all I had to do is just listen, you know, and you say, call Matt, I call Matt, and here you bless this little family. And they moved in, they didn't have furniture, so they're sleeping in our king-size bed right now, sleep by number. It was beautiful. Yeah, God bless them. Let them just have a growing family there. That's good. So, yeah, like I do woodworking and stuff. And so, like, all of our furniture, like the dresser and the bedroom suite that I made for my newlywed wife back in 2007, it's like they're using that with all their family's clothes in it. And, you know, I just share that as an example of, yeah, like, God wants to do so much. And he's not hiding anywhere. Like, he really wants to show up and represent himself. And he wants to do it through us. He could go off and do it on his own. He's that big, right? Like, he could boom a thundering voice in right now and, like, you know, but he doesn't always do that. A lot of times he wants to use people to reach people, to love people, to be his hands, to be his feet, to share his love. And so even in us leaving our place, he ends up using that as an example, not just of his faithfulness to us and how he provides, but also his love for other people. And so anyway, we get out to Colorado Springs and we do a 3 month lecture phase with 50 hours a week worth of lecture and things. And then we find out we're going to China. And so, like, after the lecture phase, we ended up going to China it was 48 days that we were in the middle of China, in a place where the government restricts their people. There's a good example of just how it is on another place in the earth. It's like, over in China, we're in a place with 5 million people, Xining, China. We're in the middle of China, and, I mean, we were treated like Hollywood stars if you go in public. I mean, it's like if they look at you, like, they're in the middle of China, not over on the eastern coast where Beijing is, so they see a lot of foreigners. But for us, like, literally, I've got pictures on my phone, and where it's just us, and there's like 50 people standing around you, and they're all sitting there holding their phone out, going like, you know, I'm like, and here's your son. They'll pick you up, and they'll carry you over, and they'll run you over to their family, and be like, oh, and everybody takes a picture while they're passing around your little son or daughter, you know, and you're sitting here going like, yeah, dude, oh, okay, yeah, have a picture, right on, good for you, you know, and like, it kind of my heart the whole time was like, okay, Lord, and I know these aren't real. I'm not saying they're real, but this is just, I guess, like an illustration that I had was, like, when they would see us and find us, it was like as if they found a leprechaun. You know, like, I know leprechauns aren't real, so I'm not, but it was just like, but they literally, it was like as if they found a leprechaun. They would, like, look over and be like, oh, American. Like, and they're taking pictures and they're sitting there doing selfies and, like, squeezy, and, like, they'd come over. Me, not so much, more of my kids and my wife, but I just sit back and go, yeah, Lord, they just couldn't handle the glory you gave me. Just kidding, completely. But yeah, it was just funny. Like, I would sit there and watch them just shut down intersections where people, they would just come up and like the whole time you just are praying, going like, Lord, right now I can't communicate with them, but they obviously want to take a picture. So God, right now, just let them find you somehow through a picture, Lord. Let, like, just our eyes and our time and our attention, our smiles, our, like, embrace of them, like, somehow, Lord, just give them love. And I'm sitting here speaking this stuff sometimes in English while I'm standing there hugging these people going, yeah, Lord Jesus, just show this one how much you love them, Lord. And I'm sitting here, like, smiling in the camera, you know, and it's just like, and they're over there going like, ni ha, ni ha, shi shi ni, shi, you know, and you're just like, uh-huh, yeah, yeah, hey, thank you too, you know, and, like, I mean, it was just amazing, but I mean, I could go into, like, stories of just all this craziness that would go on, but back to how beautiful the opportunity it is for us. It's like, over there, we have Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and all this stuff for the next generation to embrace, and whatever y'all come up with, too, but for us, like, you know, we stay on Facebook, if you're my age or above, we tend to not veer off into those other realms of social media. But over there, they have what is called WeChat. So WeChat is like their version of our Facebook. And so the government regulates it. And so here we are, Marsha, her cousin and her, they're like prayer partners and prayer warriors for each other. And so she sent her over this leather bracelet that just is like real thin, but it just says Warrior Princess and has a verse on it. Yeah, I should have you model that, and you can stand up, just because you're cute. But anyway, so here, like, we're sitting there, and she had this bracelet on. She got out of a taxi cab, and the bracelet wasn't there by the time she got up into the 16th floor of the hostel that we were staying in. And so she sends me a text message on WeChat, which is like a text message. But anyway, she sends me a message on WeChat, and she goes, "Babe, if you would be praying, like, we haven't found my bracelet. I just lost it." And my wife was really lonely when she was in China. And there's a lot of, like spiritual warfare that goes on. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on, like, in a place that just embraces anything but the light. And so you can imagine, like, spiritual warfare, like, demonic forces, those kind of things are really so much more tangible over there. Like, when you get outside of this area and you see it over there, I mean, people are just given over to this crazy, crazy force that just seeks to destroy them and isolate them away from God. But for my wife, like, she was over there and didn't have really any friends, like, anybody, and she was a full-time mom for the first time in her life, like, where all her time was with her kids when we were in China. And so this bracelet just kind of represented a friend, a sister, a partner, like, somebody who loved her and was praying for her. And so she was asking us to pray for it. And so I go to start praying for it and then go about what I was doing, because it was in the middle of this, like, ministry opportunity that we were doing. And so anyway, then I get this next text message that says, like, me and Maddie, we all prayed for it. And, like, we went down and we found it right there on the side of the street. Like, right where we walked out, it was right there. And I was like, what? Ah, I knew how much it meant to my wife. And so on this message, I'm like, hallelujah, which means, if you don't know what hallelujah means, it means praise the Lord. It's just like a single word for three words. Shortcut. It's like a life hack, you know, like, praise the Lord or hallelujah, you know. So anyway, it's like, so I type out hallelujah, like, praise God, that's so amazing, like, that's so good. And within, like, literally, like, within a minute or two, we're kicked off of WeChat. And it was like, as soon as I brought the Lord into it, and as soon as you say something like that, it's like the government just, like, cancels you off, and you get kicked off their social media thing. And that happened to us, what, like, how many times did you say? Well, really, like, 3 to 5 times, I'd say, both of us got kicked off and would have to, like, try to find a way back into their system and all this. But so there's a lot of points that you could probably take from that. But, you know, like, in the midst of that, we have such an opportunity here in America. Like, as the bride of Christ, as the church, we have such an opportunity here. And, like, being over there in China, and then when we went from China to Thailand, I mean, it was like, just seeing over there, we went to the sex trafficking and prostitution capital of the whole Asian hemisphere. And it was like, and walking down a street with bars that is, I mean, you're literally, like, walking down to the whole sides of the street are just lined with bars that are occupied by nothing but prostitutes. And these are these girls, and you go speak to the younger generation in Bangkok about Pattaya City, and you ask them, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And some of them are literally saying, like, oh, I want to get to Pattaya City and work in the bars. Like, I mean, when you want to talk about, like, how the enemy is infiltrating the lives of people, these young girls literally look at that as what they want to do. And in our culture, we don't even have a place for it. Like, why would you want to do it? You know, like, we don't see it that way. But over there, there's such oppression and there's such demonic force freely just running rampant over there that that's like the dream of a little child. I mean, it baffles you. And so, like, what we have the opportunity to be here, like, why we have this freedom, you know, like, I think we all have this sense of where our culture is moving, but, like, we have that opportunity to come up against it and to go be that light. And there's this one verse that if I could, like, really home in on it, like, this would be the verse that if you don't remember anything, this is like that John 6:27 is my hope for you guys, is like, if, what would happen if God really means what He says? Like if God really meant what He said about Himself, what would that mean for our life? Like, if God really meant what He meant, like, what He said about Himself, then what does that mean about us? And if God really means what He says about Himself, then we can start to believe what He means about us. And then what would we do accordingly? Like, how would we live our life? And one of those, like, challenging verses for me is in Romans 8. And in Romans 8, you have, like, where Paul starts talking about life in the Spirit. And then he moves from, like, the Spirit of God who dwells in you. You know, he says, like, you, however, in verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's speaking to a human being living here on earth. He's speaking to a brother or a sister of the faith, and he's saying, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's like I want to be aware of that. You know, like do you really believe like God wants to dwell in you? And not to hide in you, but to like live through you? If you read about Gideon, like the wording in the original language was like the putting on of a garment. And he says he clothed himself with Gideon. You know, like just the imagery of that. Like if you imagine a glove, like being put on by the Holy Spirit like a glove to go make Jesus beautiful. I mean, that's just like the most marvelous thought to me, is that like God would really want to use me to go be a light in a darkness. Like that He would really like want to use me to go reach those people. And it doesn't hinge off me, because He gave up Jesus for us so that we get to have this life in Him. Because once I get to the other side of this world, like we were like going through Revelations, a couple like different things about God's judgment and His wrath and all these things. Well, like once we get to that side of this creation, we can't affect any more people on this side of it, right? So like once our time on this side of the earth is gone and we're like moved into the other half of eternity, because I believe eternity's in us, right? That's what He said. But He has placed eternity in our hearts. So like we're walking in it now, and there's this side, and then there's the other side after you've been washed, fully clean, no more sin, in the, like the perfection of His presence, right? So like we can't change anything when we get to that side. So what He's trying to address is us living here on this side of it, so that we can now walk in a way that will impact this world for His furtherance of His kingdom, for the glory that He wants to receive through people. Like He doesn't want you to not know Him. He wants you to know Him. So much so that He gave up Jesus for you to know Him, so that He could live inside of you by His Spirit, so that you could now live by Him, for Him. And through you, He'll spread everywhere His fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Like that verse in 2 Corinthians says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus and spreads through us everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Right? All these verses are building up to this one verse I haven't touched on yet, but it's like to really believe what God says, that He wants to spread through us everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Not just about Him, but He wants you to know Him so that we can walk with Him. So that you can feel His heart, so that you can hear His voice, so that you can be His son or His daughter. Which leads to that next verse, like where Paul starts saying in verse 18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Right? So he's speaking of all that he's going through, the chains, the beatings, the stoning, the almost death three times, and all these things that Paul's gone through just because he knows God. And then he says this next verse, and this is like the key verse, that if I could like say gibberish the rest of the time, and this one verse would sow into your heart. It says, for the whole of creation waits with eager longing, or eager anticipation in some translations, for the revealing of the sons of God. Like, and I'm sure we have different translations in here. But at the root of this one, if you go back in the Greek and you read through what he says, it's the whole of creation, everything in creation, is waiting with eager expectation. For what? For the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God to be revealed. Does that mean on that day way off in the future where it's like we all are made perfect and all of a sudden like no more sin, no more flesh, and like there's no more opportunity to share Jesus with anybody? Or is he talking about the whole of creation right now? As he gets further into it, he starts talking about its groanings and how it's just longing for this revelation. And it's like, so he's talking about us being that children or being that child that the whole world is eagerly. Eagerly means not lighthearted, not playful, sincere, an intense mental state of mind, Webster says. So that means like the whole world is so like seriously waiting on one of us to just walk in the room and know it. Because I know Him, I know who I am. And because I know who I am, then I can stand in this room and it's like, and the whole of creation is waiting for me to just go, oh yeah, look at the one. Look at the one. That's my dad. He did it through his son Jesus. And he's with us to come and reveal this to you. And again, it doesn't mean that they're waiting on the Romans road to get pounded into. Although I love like walking down the Romans road. I mean, I love like the salvation and the gospel of Jesus and the salvation message. But the deliverance of it is through the identity of being a son. You know, and I was reminded oftentimes of where Jesus says that, like, go get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Right? So he puts all his disciples and it says, like, he forced them into the boat and sent them to the other side. And he goes up on the mountainside with the Father by himself. You know, he awoke early before the sun ever arose. And he went and spent time with the Father. You know, it's like, and I see his example of going, and it's like, why would God say that part about the sonship of Jesus if it really wasn't important to us? Because later he stood before people and he said, if you see me, then you've seen him. Everything that is spoken out of my mouth has been what the Father said, and everything that I did was what the Father was doing. And so it was about this unity of him as a son. And he said, like, you, now in John 14, 15, and 16, he speaks of the Spirit of God being in us, and he's going to come to make you one with God, so that you can do the same things you have seen me do. Right? And this concept, when we're over, like, I mean, it's just crazy to me, like, give you guys another story of China. Like, for our kids, I haven't got them to a sinner's prayer type moment, but what I've tried to do is walk with God so tangibly in front of them that they don't know anything different. Because they're 5 and 4, you know, so it's not like I'm trying to force something on them. I'm just trying to walk with Him so real and tangible that even my children are waiting for this destiny that it is to be a child of God. And so my daughter, like, I've seen her lay hands on top of, like, somebody's head who just had 400 pounds of wood land on it. And this, like, 60-year-old woman is, like, laid down, and my little daughter's hand comes out of the corner of my eye and goes, like, right now in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to take all the pain away. In Jesus' name. And like an hour and a half later, this lady's going back to work. And I remember going, oh, Lord, let me be like that. Like, I just want to, like, let me just trust that you'll do things. And, you know, it's like I played catcher for my whole life through high school. And, like, one of the guys I caught for was Adam Wainwright. He was on my traveling team. We played high school and travel ball together for 6 years, well, 4 years of high school, and, well, 3 years of me playing high school. Anyway, we played baseball for like 6 years together. And, you know, like, looking at what he does to throw a baseball, right? Like, you imagine, like, how many times he's just thrown pitches. Like, back in high school, they'd have him come in and do batting practice, and he'd just stand there and keep throwing batting practice, you know? And the concept that I keep having with me and God is like, Lord, I just want to keep standing there on the mound, and I'll just keep throwing batting practice to you. And if you want to knock it out of the park and just, like, blast one and just watch it, Lord, that's beautiful. You know, like, I just want to keep going, like, okay, like, oh, God, how can we go minister here? Lord, what do you want to go do? Like, with my little daughter, like, all she did was throw a little pitch. And, I mean, it was like, in my mind's eye, if you can go with it. It's like, my daughter's throwing batting practice, kind of, if you're following. Sorry. Are y'all following this, or is this, should I move on? Okay, so it's like, so God, you said, if anyone is sick among you, like, have the elders of the church come and lay hands on them and anoint them with oil that they be healed. Do I know how that works? It's not my kingdom. His ways are higher than my ways. I just know he said it, you know, but I want to believe that he means it. And if he means it, then why don't I try it? Why don't I do it? And in those moments, like, even my daughter seen us pray for people to be healed and prayed for other things. And so here's my little daughter standing there going, like, well, I'll throw this ball. Here you go, Lord. You want to blast it out of the park? You know, and like, and she, like, lays her little hand. I'll never forget, I'm driving, and this lady's next to me, and we're going to go lay her down and put ice on her head, and this little hand comes withering up next to me and goes on this lady's head. I look over, and she goes, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we say pain be gone in Jesus' name. And this was like a little 5-year-old. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, knock it out of the park. You know, like, just, like, do you want to blast that one, Lord? And then, like, literally, an hour and a half later, this lady's back working on the same project. I mean, it just amazes me. And so here we are in China, right? And we're on the 16th floor of a big building, you know, and we're at the top 2 floors. And we're up here, and, like, my son, he's like the little bellhop. So every time that we'd go down the stairs to the elevator to ride 15 floors, he'd run in and he'd just go, I got the floor. He'd run in and like try to touch the button. And then like my daughter would come in and she'd push the number. So he would hold the door open for everybody. And then my daughter would hit the button so that we could all go down, right? And see, they love their role and they did really good most of the time at it. But this morning, they're running down. I'm like, hey, you guys, make sure you wait for us. And I come around the corner to look down the one flight of stairs before we get to the elevator. And there's my son going, yeah, daddy, okay, well, you know, and he's like acknowledging what I said, right? Well, he's the one that hits the door open and holds it open. But the one that hits the number for the first floor wasn't there with him. And all of a sudden you hear the door shutting. And then you hear your daughter, who's 5, screaming at the top of her lungs. And she's so scared. I mean, like, you hear the door shut, and I'm running down, like I'm skipping 3 steps, and I'm just like flying down these stairs, and it's like, I get around the corner, I look over, and there's my little daughter, and she's standing there going like, hey! You know, and I'm just like, just put your arm out, you know, it'll stop, you know, but you're not going to put your arm in between the door at 5. And so I'm sitting here just going like, anything, and it was like Hollywood, where right as it goes, I'm sitting there going like, and I can't get my fingers to it because it just shut, you know, I was like, oh, this is crazy. And you just hear this 5-year-old let loose in the elevator. And over there, I don't know how old this building was, but the shaft of the elevator just reverbed the whole time. And you could hear it go all the way down, and you're watching the number. I've already got the other elevator coming up. And so I'm about to jump in the other elevator. I'm like, you guys take the next one in case she comes back up. And then you see 6, and it stops. And you're like, oh, no, that person's not going to be American. Like, what? And then you hear your daughter just go even louder to the next decibel level. You know, she's like, wah! She's screaming, you're like, oh, I feel bad for that dude. He's not going to steal her, you know? Like, but I mean, it's just like you could hear the whole building erupting. And so by now, I'm in the other elevator, and I can hear her still screaming going down. And then all of a sudden, like, I get to the bottom floor, and it opens. And I'm thinking, Lord, just let her be around. Let her be safe. Like, don't let anybody snatch her, you know? And like, and there's my little daughter, 5 years old, looking at me as the door opens. And I'm about to jump out, but instead of just standing there, taken back, because she's sitting there going like, Daddy, that was scary, Dad. You know, and she's like crying. And I'm like, oh, boo-boo. That's my name for in those emotional moments where that's my endearing term for my daughter. I'm like, boo-boo. You know, so anyway, get past that. Boo-boo, I love you. You know, like, I'm so happy that you're good. Like, are you okay? Like, did you hit anything? Are you okay? You know, and she's like, yeah, I'm good, Daddy. You know, and by now the elevator comes down. I'm like holding her. And so, like, she goes to Mommy, and Mommy's like embracing her and stuff. And then, so after the whole thing of like reunion comes back, we're out on the sidewalk in the middle of Chenin, and there's all this stuff going on, and I'm holding her, and I'm like, okay, Lord, we're going to teach her some principles in your kingdom right now, and this will be good, right? And this is the father moment. And so I look at my daughter, I'm holding her, and I'm like, hey, boo-boo, you know when you're scared, you can always just talk to God, and He's there. He's always there, right? And she's like, I know, Daddy. I'm sitting there like holding a little 5-year-old, you know, and I'm sitting there like, so baby, and I'm like trying to like lean her back. So she's like all like, you know, it's a whole physical like lean her back. So she's relying on me. And then now as I speak this truth, she'll be relying on it type concept, you know, where I'm just like holding her away. So she's really taking this serious. And she's like, yeah, I know, Daddy. I'm like, you know, like, she's like, yeah, he was with me on the elevator. I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, he said, go to the bottom floor and wait. Daddy's on the next elevator. I'm like, how'd you figure that out? You know, like, how do you know that? It's like, and so Marcia, she looks over at her and she goes, hey, Maddie, what does God's voice sound like? And she goes, silly, he sounds like this. And so a little 5-year-old is like, he sounds like this. Like, she doesn't have all the words for it, but what does she mean? Like, he's in here. He's in me. He speaks to me. In a way that I know this isn't my thought, this is a thought just beyond mine, and it came from him. Like, she's so innocent, and she's so young, without our adult mature filters on, that it's like, that he goes, just wait, it's okay, Daddy's going to be on the next elevator. And she goes, okay. And she just pauses. And it's like, she doesn't have to fret. She doesn't fear. Do not be anxious about anything. But it, like, with thanksgiving, you know, it's like we can go through that whole like thing there where it's like, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus, right? Like, I know that. I've sewn it into my heart. But a 5-year-old does not know that. She's never memorized that verse. So it's like, so what's the principle that I learned when I thought I was teaching her something? say, He wants this more than I do. Like, He wants relationship with me more than I do. And if He was willing to give up Jesus for me, like, what else will He not do to reveal His heart, His plans, His will, His moment with me? So much so that even my 5-year-old daughter would sit there at the bottom of an elevator completely calm now, going, like, yeah, Daddy, He told me you were coming down. Like, it was good. That's when I stopped crying. And it's like, what does He sound like? Silly? He sounds like this. Like, saying, it's like He speaks to her. And it's not confusing language. It's in a way that she knows it's Him. You know, it's really, really incredible. Just, you know, like, I was thinking, like, oh yeah, we'll go change China, but really God wants to change you. Oh, I'm going to go impact my group, but really He wants to impact me. And the more that He impacts us, the more that this verse becomes real. Because the more that I just get time with God, whether I'm in China, you know, we thought we were going to go bring the gospel to China, really. They've got an 8-figure church, it turns out. You know, like, they're doing pretty well. I was in an underground Bible study where I got to teach English, the gospel of Jesus in English, to underground church leaders. 25 of them are in this room, and I'm sitting here like teaching them English, right? And nobody in Shining cares about English. Like, you don't get favor for speaking English. They're learning it. But these church leaders, for the last 20 years, have been giving up every 3 to 5 years everything. From the east coast of China, and they move every 3 to 5 years, one province at a time. And they get in a complex with over 20,000 people living in this complex in 12 buildings, and they hold 2 to 3 meetings a week in this place. And the people that we're speaking English to is because 15 years down the road, after they've given up everything one more, two more, three, and then the fourth time, they're going to be in a province that you have a lot of favor if you know English. And the first thing they want to learn is the gospel of Jesus in English. Does that make sense? Like, they're giving up everything 3 to 5 years at a time, strategically walking across their country until they get all the way back to Jerusalem in 30 years if Jesus tarries that long. And they're giving it all up one step at a time to reach their country. I mean, that's amazing to me. You know, and I remember just sitting there watching them, like, speaking to them. I felt, like, so crazy. It's like, Lord, why did you let me in this apartment to just, like, hide behind these? I mean, they would, like, double their curtains whenever they'd shut the thing so that we could, like, do this and nobody would see what we were doing in there. And it's like they would take your voice and they'd go, okay, will you say it back into my phone? And I'm like, yeah. So we end up, like, going through in, like, a 10 to 15 minute long thing in their phone. And it's like, and you saw them a week later and him and his wife had it memorized. I'm like, dude, how long did you go over this? His name was Fine, the guy that was like the one I really connected with, F-I-N-E. And I'm like, man, how long did y'all go over it? He goes, 3 times a night, every single night. I'm like, man, how long did that take? He's like, about 1.5 to 2 hours. And in 1 week, like, that's how committed they were. That they would huddle around this little device that God gave somebody the creativity to make. And here they are listening to it. And then they would pause it and recite it back to each other one by one. I mean, all because they want to see the gospel of Jesus go. And they're going with it. I mean, that just, stuff like that just blows your mind. You know, and it goes back to that concept. I heard a guy say before we ever left, he goes, a lot of people think they're going to go take God to China, but He's already there. You're just going to go meet with Him. And He's just been waiting on us to show up in a land where not very many meet with Him. And the funny thing is, like, I'll flash forward because I'm down to, like, my, like, 10-minute mark, probably. But it's like, no? Now is? It didn't even go off. I got 20 seconds. What are you talking about? Sorry. Yeah, I thought it was an 8, so I was like, okay, good. Can I share one story real quick? Okay. So that was China. I could give some more about Thailand. But the whole of creation waits with eager, like they're eagerly. And they don't even know it, but they're eagerly anticipating one of us being revealed. There we go. So they're eagerly waiting on one of us, right? So 7 weeks ago, we came through St. Louis to get back to Georgia, because that's like like we're in this mission of raising our monthly support and all this stuff. And so like I grew up in Georgia, and so going back home, it's like we're meeting with people, inviting them to pray about being with us on this thing. And it's like as we're coming through St. Louis, we're stopping in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, in order to make it back down to Georgia, right? And so on our way back, we're in Tennessee, we get our hotel room, check in for the night, and it's like, we want to give the kids breakfast for dinner, so you go to Cracker Barrel, right? And so we go into Cracker Barrel, eat our dinner. As we get done with our dinner, we turn around, we walk out of Cracker Barrel, and we're going to walk out, and you know, you pass that like long line of rocking chairs that they've been selling for years, you know, and it's like, you always wonder, like, is this one sold and they just replaced it? Or, you know, it's like, anyway, like, I always wonder, like, how old is this chair, you know? But anyway, so it's like, you walk past that whole line, you get to the corner, you make a right, and there's another little row of rocking chairs still chained to the building. And it's like, but as we walk by, there's this couple that's younger, and they're sitting, like, maybe mid to early 20s looking, and it's like, and they're sitting there with a little kid and, like, a, you know, like the really infant one where you pick it up and then you latch it into the seat, you know? So, whatever that carrier, baby carrier thing is. And so, they're sitting there. We walk past them. And as we do, we get to the van. And I go, babe, when we walk by them, this is what I thought. Right? And I just preface this with, there's not one that's good. There's not one that seeks after God. Right? So, there's not one that's righteous. So, what does that mean? Like, you can't have these thoughts on your own. We can't do this on ourselves. Like, you can't have a good thought that's going to give Him honor and glory by yourself. And I always thought it was like, live out of obligation and let me be obedient. But instead, I've started to realize God's inviting me to a lot of stuff. It's always an invitation. So if you have a thought that's good, one that will honor Him, give Him glory, speak highly of Him, or it will be an investment in the kingdom, why not look at it as an invitation and go, oh God, what if you really want me to do this? What will you do? Right? So we're walking by, I get to the van, I'm like, babe, I was walking by them, and I just think we're supposed to give them X amount of dollars. I feel like we're supposed to. And she looks at me and goes, well, if you feel like God told you to, then go ahead. Let's do it. So I go, like, get the money, and I turn around, I walk back to this young couple, and I walk up to them, like, hey, how's it going? My name's Doug. What's your name? We do introductions. I'm like, you guys, I don't know what's going on in your world, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that He has got His eye on you. And He's more for you than you ever could imagine that He is. He knows what you're going through, and He knows every situation, and none of those are too big for Him. He just wants you to invite Him into this thing. But I'm just supposed to be by you to tell you that I know my Father, and I know He loves you. He gave His Son Jesus for you. And if you'll look through that, He will show up in this, okay? Can I pray for you? And they're like, oh. And like the girl's crying, and the guy's just like sitting there. So I end up like praying for them real quick, and then I pick up their little baby, and I felt like God gave me this picture of me holding him in between me and them and sneaking the money in his little chest strap. So that's what I did. So I was like, all right, so I pick him up, and I'm like, Lucas, man, this is for you and your family. And dude, I don't know what it's for, but God does. And He loves you, little man. Bless you. And I put him down like, you guys, thank you so much, you know, and just remember it's Him, you know, and I walk off. We get in the car, and they're like, they turned him around, and they like figured out what we did. We're driving off down the road, and he's screaming at us, right? And he's like, God bless you guys so much. You know, like, I don't know when the last person he ever said God bless you to, but he's screaming at the top of his lungs on the side of Cracker Barrel. Well, we get back home, and then the opportunity to come to you guys, like, shows up. And it's like, oh, we want to. Why? I don't know, but let's see what God wants to invite us to. And so on our way up here, so all my talking could have been just to get us there, right? So we're driving up Thursday. Let me get my Friday. Yeah, Friday. Say, what day is today? Okay, good. We're late. Just keep talking. Okay, so like we're driving up. We get to North Georgia, and there's this little part of 75 where Georgia, and then it goes into Tennessee, then it goes back into Georgia, then back into Tennessee, and then you're in Tennessee for good, right? If you've ever driven it, you know it. But anyway, so we're driving up through there. We're nowhere near Chattanooga yet. And as we get to this spot in the highway, this interstate, it's like my little son goes, Daddy, I got to go potty. I mean, it was just like really crisp and out of nowhere. And I'm like, dude, we just stopped like 30, 45 minutes ago. We just filled the tank up. I'm not even like a quarter of the way down yet. What are you doing? You know, and I look over at Marshall. I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and he just said it so clear. I look at my wife, and I go, because, you know, like the navigator, if you're the guy driving, like she's the boss. And, you know, it's like, do we stop yet? No, hold it, make it hurt, whatever. And so I look over, and like that's just – maybe that's our van. I don't know. But so I'm sitting here driving, and I'm on the phone. I'm like, hey, dude, hold on. Hey, babe, do you hear him? What do you want to do? And she's like, no, we can just keep going. You know, and I'm like, let's just go ahead and take care of it. And for some reason, I talked back, you know, and I was just like, let's just take care of it. Some of y'all got that. So anyway, so I pull off the exit, and I'm driving off to the right, and there's this gas station there, you know, and I'm looking at it going like, oh, man, it's wide open and empty, but let's just go where there's people because I love people, you know. And so I'm like, let's just go where there's everybody. And so we pull into this gas station, and every parking spot's full, and I'm like, ah, so we can't park there. And when I was a little kid, I remember, like, you don't use the bathroom unless you pay for something. So I was like, let's just go ahead and buy a quarter tank of gas. You know, you get what I'm saying. You know, like, in my mind, it's grafted into my head. So I'm like, no, babe, they can't just use the bathroom. Buy some candy or something, you know? And like, and so anyway, like, I'm pulling in there, nowhere to park. I'll just go to this gas pump. Pull into the gas pump, park the car, pop the thing. Marcia takes the kids. They go to the bathroom. And I get out and I start the gas. And I look over through the window and I can see potato chips from my daughter on the car seat. So I walk around my van, pump's here. Pump gas, walking around, I go back over and I go to her car seat and I take her car seat out. It's a booster seat. We just upgraded, if y'all know what that means. Like, the kids are getting old. And so anyway, like, I took the car seat out and I dust all the chips off of it. I put it back in and I'm still talking to my friend on the phone, and all of a sudden out of the back of my head I go, excuse me, sir? Excuse me, sir? And it was a girl's voice, and I'm like, oh, dude, hold on a second. There's a lady here. So I turn around and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she goes, hey, you gave me money a few weeks ago, and we've been trying to find you guys to tell you thank you. And I'm like, oh, well, come on. Like, Lord, come on. I know you just did something. Like, hold on, what's your name? She's like, Lucretia. I'm like, oh, I've only met one of you. Like, I know who you are. I'm like, oh, where's your husband at? She's like, he's right over here. I was like, with your son? She's like, yeah, Lucas is right there too. And I'm like, oh, can we go? And my friend's on the phone, and I got my earbuds in. He's like, dude, I'll let you go. And so I took my phone, put it in my pocket, and turns out he never got off the phone. He listened to the whole thing and was eavesdropping, and it was just really cool. So we've got a witness, but literally I walk around and I turn around, I get to the car, and the husband jumps up and he's like, oh man, dude, I've been wanting to find you, man. I feel like I've had to tell you thank you for something. I'm like, dude, it was nothing, man. I'm like, ah, and he goes, no, it was something. We were sitting there trying to figure out what to do. Like, we weren't sitting there for dinner. We were sitting there because we didn't have any money and our kid didn't have any more formula and we didn't have any more diapers. And we were sitting on that seat, sitting there trying to figure out, God, what do we do next? What do we do next? And then you walked up. The whole of creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Like, they were just sitting there. They didn't know that they were waiting on the child of God to walk up and give what the Father already said to give to them from His heart. But it was like, but there they were. And I was like, oh man, have you been talking to him? They're like, oh yeah. I'm like, dude, like, and we went through this whole reunion thing and all this stuff. And they have a cousin sitting inside in the driver's seat. And she goes, is this those people you were telling me about? And she starts crying. She's like, I was crying then when they told me about this. I can't believe you guys are here. I'm like, yeah, we're here. That's so crazy. Like, God, oh, God, what do you want to do right now then? And I remember just thinking, like, God, if you've entrusted us with a second meeting with this couple, what's the purpose? And I remember sitting there going like, come on, you guys, let's get serious then. Like, this isn't for us to just like clap and give high fives and hugs. It's like, why would the God of the universe, of all the places and all of creation, in all the world, of all the gas pumps and all the time and of all the moments of this day, why would He have my son yell out, I've got to go potty? And we would drive past that gas station to get to this gas station to park at this pump to have you see me for the second time of your life. Come on. And they're like, oh, I've got chills all over. And I'm like, it's not cold, you guys. It's 98 degrees. And they're like, oh, I'm even in goosebumps. I'm like, there's no geese here either. Like, you know that you feel something inside you. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. He said, I've put my spirit inside of you. Like, that's the God of the universe saying, like, no, I set this up because you got to realize, like, He is more for you than you are for yourself finding Him. Like, and I remember just, like, watching them break down crying. And then the cousin we start speaking to, and God said, she's listening to voices. It sounds sketchy that I would, like, have the God of the universe, like, give me the thought that she's hearing voices. And so I look over at her and I go, Karen, I know you think this is about them, but this is about you too. Don't kill yourself. Don't listen to those voices. You are beautiful. And whatever baggage you're carrying around, that baggage is not worth you ending your life. He's still got a plan for you. And the things that you've physically done to yourself are not things that are going to stop your destiny in Him. If you would turn to Him, He will take all these things away from you, and your best chance is what's coming up next if you will look to Him. It's not the past. You're free from this. And she's bawling. And she looks at me and goes, I've got 3 kids, and I'm pregnant right now, and that's not my husband. And I'm sitting here going like, oh, Lord. And she's not married. And she can't even smile. She wouldn't even show me her face. And like, just watching her tear up, and I'm like, you got to believe this is about you. This wasn't just about them hearing from him that they need to keep going after him, but this is about you too. And I, like, we end up praying over her. We end up like blessing her. We walk off and go into the gas station. I come back, and this is like 5 to 10 minutes later, and they're still sitting in their car at the same pump, and she's bawling. And Quentin's in the back seat. He goes, dude, God's so amazing, man. She's telling us, oh, she hasn't told anybody any of that stuff. Nobody knows about that. And I'm sitting here going, dude, like, you know who knows that then. I don't know that. But here's his daughter sitting in a car that just doesn't know that this is the situation. Like, I'm your father. I gave up my son, Jesus, for you so that I could see you beautiful. I could see you amazing. I could see you the fearfully and wonderfully created made or being that I made. And it's like, and here she is weeping because the God of the universe knows something about her that nobody else in the world should know. And it's like, and he met with her at a gas pump to share it with her. So I'll end in praying. That's how we started and we're late. So forgive me. But as I pray, I hope that you'll unite your heart with it and we'll all be in agreement. Because Father, you said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus. Through you, Lord, we always have triumphal procession. We get to be that parade of triumph. We get to be those ones marching in a world of darkness where the enemy is seeking to shoot fiery darts at our family, our sisters, our brothers. It doesn't matter if we're in China. It doesn't matter if we're in Thailand. It doesn't matter if we're in some exit off of an interstate. It doesn't matter if we're right here in St. Louis, Lord. You gave us a triumphal procession to walk in. And it's not ours, it's yours. But we're your ambassadors. And you spread through us everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of you. God, if we would know you and we would go spread that aroma, the world will start to change. It doesn't matter if we're at an office, if we're in a hospital. It doesn't matter if we're at a school. It doesn't matter if we're in our home. It doesn't matter if we're at a gas pump. It doesn't matter if we're in an elevator. Wherever we're at, Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to believe what you say about yourself and who you are. We would believe it to the point of a conviction that would cause us to walk in such a way to where it doesn't matter, Lord. Because God, it wasn't just about those girls and the husband and the baby at the gas pump. It was about the girl who sat in her Jeep and waited for 45 minutes that we talked to inside that said, I didn't want to mess where I saw God working. She sat in her car and just waited for a gas pump because she saw your children coming together. Or for the man that was in the gas station that heard the story and started giving you glory because he got excited because he's a son and gets to walk this way too. God, let us be those children the whole world is eagerly waiting to walk into the room and bring a light. We're not hidden under baskets, God. Holy Spirit, ask for conviction to be in all of our hearts that we would not hide ourselves under a basket or hide in our homes. But God, we would get up on the stand that you paid the price for us to be on, that we would be a light in the room. So that all who enter in would see how good you are and give you glory, would see that the adoption papers are for them too. They're not orphans. They're your children waiting on a child to walk into the room that knows you and will introduce them to you. Just like Philip and Nathaniel, he went and grabbed his brother and brought him back to Jesus. Let us be like those, Lord. So God, pray for your divine covering over this time and as it's extended long, Lord, that there would be a grace in our heads that wouldn't see how long it went. But God, that we would start listening for your voice in the small things. And we'd be open to the invitations that you give us to give, to love, to instill faith and hope and love into the world around us, everywhere we are. You're so good, Dad. We worship you and we praise you, Jesus, for everything that you gave up in separating yourself from heaven to give us life. But then you returned and gave us your spirit. So thank you for giving us yourself again so that we can go be a light in the dark world because they're all waiting on us. Let us go get them, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, through your son, Jesus. Amen.